It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. 10 o'clock hour. So much to talk about in the world. Theme today, Washington 100% in the driver's seat, the cattle prod of the day for markets, clearly tariffs. We'll see if the rhetoric continues to soften as we move forward. Last week it did so and markets liked it, up about 2%, because now China looks as though they're saying, look, we're open, we're going to reduce tariffs on some things here of your goods in our country. Markets loved that. It's almost as though it's exactly what Trump was gunning for. We'll see if that gets put to bed or not. Doubt it'll be that easy, but we'll obviously see. The key, though, is that the tariffs really cost, if fully implemented, if, still we don't know if that's the case, $82 billion. Big number, but remember, $20 trillion economy. What is a bigger deal that is often overlooked in most economic conversations? Tax reform, $200 billion headed into the U.S. economy 2018. That's really just starting to ramp up. Number two, $500 billion worth of repatriated cash coming back from overseas for companies due to the new tax law. And three, infrastructure spending or government spending actually going up. Not good for deficits, not good for our debt, but at least economically stimulative in 2018. So $800 billion of stimulus versus the potential for $80 billion worth of cost in tariffs. So much to talk about here today that we've given the context around trade. Of course, want to talk about the economy. The U.S. economy certainly remains resilient in many, many ways. We can certainly get to that. Also, lots of calls that I want to get to. The number in the studio, 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. Again, I am your host, Wes Moss. We're going to go to the phones here. Let's just do that right now with no more delays. Miguel, or where are we headed, my friend? We are going to line here? Chris joins us from Cumming. Chris, good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. What's going on? How can I help?
Hey, Wes. Good morning. How are you doing?
Good, good. How can I help?
Hey, so I've got a question for you. It's kind of a two-part question, but I agree with you about the role of the stimulus and the tax cuts being positive for investments. Don't disagree with you at all. The one thing that I am concerned about, though, is policy error from the Fed. And I think one of the ways that can express itself is with the yield curve, with the 2 and 10 year treasuries. And I guess there are some people, some investors like me, who maybe feel like the Fed kind of suppressed real price discovery over the last 5 or 6 years, and were, you know, concerned about investing in maybe the next 5 years. I'm 55, so I've been a little bit more defensive over the past 3 to 6 months, and just trying to figure out what I can do as somebody who maybe is a little bit more concerned about that, and if that could kind of overwhelm any positive effects from the stimulus you've been talking about.
Let me put this in context, Chris, and that's it's an important question and topic that we probably need to really have it addressed, and we need to spend some time on it. So I'm actually really glad you brought it up. And let me put this in context for our listeners. What Chris is worried about, and I've seen tons of articles, let's say, that'll pop up on financial websites. It'll say, you know, this ominous sign means recession 100% of the time, and it's about to happen. And it's, again, these are kind of these scare articles, but to some extent they're true. And what they're talking about, and I'm going to explain this in just a second here, is called the yield curve inversion. Now, to Wall Street fund manager, that is right. That's vocabulary 101. If you're not on Wall Street, let me explain that to you. Typically, when you the further out, let me try to explain this. The yield curve is the, if you were to look at a picture or a chart of what you get paid on government debt, typically it looks like this. Short-term government bonds, three-month bonds, one-year bonds, they pay you a little bit. Let's just say 1%. In longer-term bonds, let's call 10-year bonds, they typically pay more because you're locking your money up more. So it's, let's call it 3%. And then for a 30-year government bond, and again, this is just for illustration purposes, because you're locking your money up technically, or you're making a 30-year commitment, you get even more interest. Now we're talking 4%. So the curve looks as though it's upward sloped. It goes from 1% to 2 to 3 to 4 the further you go out in time. And that is what that's the yield curve, and that's what it typically looks like. And it kind of makes sense, right? You buy a CD, and it's a one-year CD. You get less interest than if you buy a five-year CD because you're locking your money up further. What happens and that's the normal yield curve. Over time, and this has happened, let's call it, if I go back to, let's say, 1977, it's happened, let's call it, five times. It happened in 1980, 82, 90, happened in 01, and then it happened in the last Great Recession. We got what is called an inverted yield curve. The yield curve goes upside down or backwards, meaning that you end up getting more interest for short-term bonds than you do longer-term bonds. So the chart, instead of sloping upwards, it takes a dip. And that, every time it's done that, or inverted, meaning that, let's say, a 10-year bond pays more than a 30-year bond, which it shouldn't really do, we've gone into recession. And that's exactly what Chris is worried about here. Every time, and you're going to hear more and more about this because we're getting closer and closer to it, every time you see the Treasury yield curve invert, meaning that long-term bonds pay less than short-term bonds, which shouldn't happen, that's a pretty bad sign. And if you go back again to Chris's point, the last five times that's happened, every single time we have gone into recession. Now, it doesn't happen right away. Typically happens about 12 to 18 months later. Once it happens, the way I look at this, you've got about a year before the economy does really start to roll over or go into recession. Now, you've got to watch this really carefully. So typically the yield curve, we say, let's say the 10-year treasury pays 3, and the yield curve, by the way, is taking the 10-year bond yield. Today it's 2.8. Let's round it up to 3, minus the 2-year bond, right? So let's say, and today that's about 2. So now the yield curve is getting, the spread between those two is getting less and less and less and less. And when it goes to 0 or negative, that's the inversion. So that gets a little scary. Normally, you want to see, let's say, the 10-year treasury at 3, the 2-year treasury at 1, you have a positive plus 2 if you subtract the 2. Well, what happens if the 10-year treasury is at 2.5 and the 2-year treasury is at 3? That's an inverted yield curve. Now you've got a negative number, a negative spread, then you're going to see recession. So what happens here, and today that spread is about 0.5%. It's about 0.5 or 50 basis points, call it 0.5%. And when we get into that range, we're getting closer and closer and closer down to 0. We got to really watch for it. Now, we can be in this range for a long time, Chris, and we can linger here for a year. We could linger here for 2 years. We don't know. So I would keep a really close eye on this. I really would. But even if it does happen, you typically don't see an inversion until, or you typically don't see a recession for another 12 to 18 months. In fact, if you look at what happens when you invert, so you get this danger sign. Again, we're not there yet. We might be a year or two away from that, even if it does happen at all. You've got about the average rate of return for the market, so the S&P 500, once you hit the inversion all the way to the recession, on average, the market still goes up, on average, by about 12%. Now, there's some times where it did go down, but on average, you actually see the market move higher even after the yield curve inversion. And my point in kind of going through this quick history with you is that you got to watch for it. It is an almost 100% sign that if it happens, we have almost 100% of the time gone into recession. But we might be a long way from there, meaning that we're still a half a percentage point away on that spread to get there. And we could go a year or 2 years before we even get there. And then once we get there, typically you don't go into recession for another year, year and a half. So we might be 2 to 3 years away, Chris. And I will keep you up to date here. So we will, now that we've talked about this, and I should have talked about this before, but now that we've brought up this very scary sign, we're not there yet. We're actually pretty far away from that happening, but it's on my radar. It's on your radar. And we're going to keep it as a really important topic here on Money Matters, yield curve inversion, because it basically gives us the forecast. Hey, we're going into recession. That's the bad news. The good news is we're not there yet. And we're actually pretty far away from that for now. Chris, thank you for your question. It's super helpful, I think, to our audience to understand that you got to watch interest rates. So we've got to watch that, and we will continue to do so. Now, when it comes back to everything that you're watching as an investor, I know that it's kind of a scary world to live in. If you watch the news at night, you know, you want your blood pressure to go up. Just watch the financial news at night or any news, or watch CNBC during the day. If you want your blood pressure to really go through the roof, watch CNBC plus watch your portfolio at the same time. Your money in the news cycle will literally rev your cortisol levels, and those cortisol levels, it's literally bad for your health. I'm going to go over a study when it comes to money and health when Money Matters returns. But if you have a strategy and that you can live by, it can, or just a philosophy that you know you're on a path. There's never a perfect path, but as long as you have a strategy, it can really eliminate how worried you become, and how it can eliminate a lot of the stress that you get from investing. We know we need to invest for our future. It doesn't mean it's easy, and that's exactly what I'm trying to help you with in You Can Retire Sooner Than You Think. And subtitle, The 5 Money Secrets of the Happiest Retirees. Note, happiest retirees. This is a book that we continue to talk about here on the show because I think it's today more relevant than it's ever been. You have to understand happy retiree research. You may already be a happy retiree, or you may already be on a path to being one. Either way, you really have a lot of fun with You Can Retire Sooner Than You Think. It is a fun read. It's an informative read. And it'll tell you what happy retirees do versus unhappy, what happy retirees drive, how often they go on vacation versus unhappy retirees. And those are the habits you want to pick up. The book is less expensive at retiresoonerbook.com. I was just looking at Amazon. It's like 12 or almost 13 bucks on Amazon today. It's $9.99 with free shipping at retiresoonerbook.com. So if you want to read You Can Retire Sooner Than You Think and get a philosophy or get some sort of strategy to lower your blood pressure when it comes to investing and do what happy retirees do, or at least know what they do, and you may already be one, then this book I think will be super helpful and a lot of fun to read, you and your spouse. The website, the book again, free shipping, retiresoonerbook.com. That's retiresoonerbook.com. Less expensive on Retire Sooner Book. And we are back. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Going right to the phones here. Wayne joins us from Lilburn. Wayne, what's going on? How can I help?
Yes, I'll be 62 years old this year. Live in Georgia, which excludes up to $35,000 in retirement income, 26 to 64. I plan on retiring another year or two. Should I be withdrawing money from 401k this year until I retire, since I'll save 6% in Georgia income tax?
Well, you're saying you're still working, Wayne, or no?
I am, yes, I'm working.
Well, so then you don't want to withdraw anything then from your IRA, right?
Well, I mean, if I'm retiring a year or two, I'll have to make withdrawals and it'll be taxed at 6%.
Well, remember on the regular withdrawal from an IRA, even if you're 60, between now and all the way up until you're 65, it's at least $35,000. And then at 65, it goes all the way up to $65,000. But Social Security doesn't even count towards that. So really, it's on top of your social. You know what? Hang on. We got this is too short of a time. Hang on, Wayne. We're going to get to you as soon as we come back. You're listening to Money Matters right here, News 95.5 AM 750 WSB.
It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss, certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlanta's Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. I'm going to go right back to the phones. We were talking to Wayne from Lilburn, and we just didn't have enough time. Just not enough time. Wayne from Lilburn. Sorry we didn't have enough time. Now we're back. Okay. Are you still with me?
Yes, I am. Okay. I did mention that when I do retire, I'll have a pension, which will be over $35,000. So everything I would draw from 401k will be taxable at Georgia up till age 65.
All right. For our listeners that are just tuning in, so they just got out of church, Wayne. They just got in the car, and they didn't hear what we had talked about before. So let's kind of restart. You are how old?
I'll be 62 this year.
So you're still not even 62, and you are still working.
Well, I plan to retire in 1 to 2 years, and my question is, should I withdraw money from 401k now? Because Georgia allows up to $35,000 between age 62 and 64 for untaxed retirement benefits.
While you're even this, so let me ask. Here's the important question. Even so, now because you're working, you don't need the money, correct?
Okay.
How about next year once you stop working, will you? You said you'll have a pension. I suspect you probably won't turn Social Security on just yet.
No, I'm planning on getting Social Security at 66.
You're going to wait till 66. My question, I think, is the crux of the answer here. Depending on what you say, will you be spending, if you pull out $35,000, and again, what Wayne's asking, he's saying, you know, before age 65, from 62 to 65, Georgia gives you an exemption up to $35,000 of unearned income, like a withdrawal from an IRA, that gets exempted from the 6% Georgia state tax. Will you, in, let's say, that year, 63 and 64, if you pulled out the 35, yes, you get to avoid the 6% tax. Are you going to be spending that money to live on, or do you not need it yet?
I don't need it yet. But I will need it when I retire.
And your thought, though, is to pull it out now, pay the taxes, because you're getting to avoid the 6% now?
Correct.
I don't think so. And here's why. I think what you're thinking in your mind, from a common sense perspective, I get what you're saying. You're saying, why not use the exemption? But remember, the exemption keeps going up. It goes all the way up to 65 when you're 65. When you turn age 65, it goes up to 65,000, and that doesn't even count Social Security. Really, you're going to get the exemption on your pension, and then the difference between your pension and what you need to pull out of the IRA. In my mind, what you're doing here, what you don't want to do, don't let the state income tax tail wag the federal income tax dog. I don't know if I got that right, but I know that it kind of makes sense. Hey, I've got this somewhat of an advantage or a gift right now, let's say next year at 62, 63, and I can get an exemption. But there's no reason to pull money out of your IRA if you don't need to spend it, just because you're getting the 6% you're avoiding a 6% tax when you don't even need the money. You still have to pay the federal tax. The IRS, Wayne, would probably love you to do that, because you're still paying extra federal income tax that you wouldn't otherwise have to pay. And the answer might be even more complicated if you run a tax projection and say, hey, I know exactly what bracket I'm going to be in when I'm 66. That's a longer question, but from my planning experience on this one is that we very often want to kind of take advantage of a rule, and that's exactly what you're thinking, which is super logical, but you don't really need to do that because you get hurt in another aspect, and this aspect that isn't necessarily good news for you is that you have to pay the federal tax. And why do that if you don't even need to spend the money? So that's my take on this, Wayne, and hopefully that helps, my friend. Remember, I'm not a CPA, but I am a certified financial planner, deal a lot with tax. To really dig even deeper, Wayne, what you need to do is do a tax projection with your CPA, your tax advisor, and do a projection in the future. But my gut is telling me here that you don't want to do it. It's like, don't do this just because you get an exemption. You don't really need to use it. Don't let the state income tax tail wag the federal income tax dog. I think that makes sense. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. I'm your host, Wes Moss, here every Sunday morning. The number 404-872-0750. So maybe you just got out of church on a rainy Sunday, and hopefully the rain will calm down. Looks like it is calming down a little bit. But maybe you're just hopping out of church and you have been thinking about something all week or the last month and you want to just get some direction on it. Just like what Wayne said. Hey, should I do this? I've been thinking about it for a while. That's just my objective opinion on which direction he should go. And we'll do the same thing for you. Maybe it's tax. Maybe it's 401k. Maybe it's a 403b or an IRA, a Roth question, funding school, a mortgage, a real estate question. Or maybe it's just, hey, do I buy this ETF? Or not. Who do I use? Schwab, Vanguard, Fidelity, big brokerage firm. I don't know. We're here to try to help. So the number in the studio, 404-872-0750. Give us a call. The number 1-800, if you're outside of Atlanta, 1-800-WSB-TALK or 1-800-972-8255. We're going to continue on the phones here. Tom from wonderful Blairsville. Tom, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going?
Great.
Hey, listen, I keep getting advice about, I have, you know, probably above mid or low to mid seven figure retirement fund. And I've got about 25% of it in Roth. Everybody keeps telling me to take my Roth at the end because it's, you know, lower taxes. But my objective, I keep thinking, I don't know if I'm going to live that long. Probably I will have some funds left over in my retirement. And that, why do I want to pass that on tax-free to somebody? Why shouldn't I take it now? What's the point of doing the Roth if I don't take advantage of it?
Remember this, the reality is this. Everybody's situation is different because you have a different goal for your money versus what you're going to pass on. So do you have kids, Tom?
No.
And so the kids don't need, there's no real, yes, the technically a wonderful asset to inherit is a Roth because your heirs don't have to pay any tax on it. If they inherit an IRA, they do have to pay taxes on it. So it's actually better for your heirs for them to have a Roth. But in your case, it doesn't really matter. And when you're getting advice from Mr. Everybody, yeah, which we hear a lot here on the show. Very often, Mr. Everybody isn't ever really asking you your own particular scenario. And from what you're telling me, hey, I'm not really worried about my heirs because I don't have kids. And what really matters is my own spending today. And it might make sense to use the Roth today. The conventional wisdom, sure, is, hey, I'm going to wait to use my Roth money because it's technically the most tax efficient. I can grow it tax free. When I want to use it, it comes out it grows tax deferred. When I want to use it, it comes out tax free. But right now, let's say that you need a fair amount of money because you have an active retirement. You're doing a lot of, you're traveling right now. And how old are you, by the way, Tom?
I'm 66.
You're in the retirement sweet spot, right? You're in the active years of retirement. The next 10 years, you'll be a lot more active between now and 76 than you will be from 76 to 86. Hence, you might be spending more money. Hence, you might be needing to pull more out of your retirement account, which puts you in a higher tax bracket. If you're in a higher tax bracket today, then maybe your Roth is more advantageous to use. Let's say you're 85 and you don't need a lot of the money and all you need to do is take your required minimum distribution, then I could make a case that, yes, let's keep your tax rate a little bit lower today by using some of the Roth, because when you pull that money out, it's tax-free. That might be for you in particular here, because you don't have a bunch of people that you want to leave a perfect asset to, it, maybe it doesn't make sense to wait. And so I think what you're making the case here that for you in particular, the Roth makes some sense to use. And I don't disagree with that. I think that that could potentially make a lot of sense, Tom.
Well, that's my thinking too. But when you read a lot of stuff and everybody's doing that, you just wonder if I've missed something along the way that says maybe I should wait.
Using the Roth last to some extent is just an in general that makes a lot of sense. But in general, maybe only covers 65% of the population, and the other, or two thirds, the other third, like you, your needs are slightly different than the rest. And very often, Mr. Everybody, when you get advice from Mr. Everybody, or I guess it's Mr. Everybody, right? Yeah. We get that a lot. Everybody says, what I always hear is, and that very clearly does not know you in particular, doesn't know Tom from Blairsville. And what you're telling me, I think the Roth could make a lot of sense. Tom, have a great rest of your Sunday, my friend.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for tuning in. 404-872-0750. Let me go. I've got to get to a couple things here. I know we continued, and we've got a prize pack we have to do. Miguel Ortegal here with me, certified financial planner. He's been taking your calls all day. Do we want to do a prize pack yet? Are you ready for that, Miguel? Let's do it.
We do have a prize pack. You are going to get a pair of two tickets at the State Bank Amphitheater at Chastain Park to see Brandi Carlile and the Indigo Girls on June 24th and July 19th, part of the Delta Concert Series produced by Live Nation.
Brandi Carlile. I'm not going to pretend I know who that is. I know the Indigo Girls. They continue to keep going. Don't know Brandi. Thank you, Miguel. Miguel's got a great radio voice, doesn't he? Way better than my radio voice. And I'm lucky to have a voice with all the pollen going around this week. Let's talk about the health of, let's talk about your physical health. This is a pretty interesting study, and it was by Northwestern University's Feinberg School of Medicine in Chicago, and University of Michigan. Oh, by the way, the prize line, 404-741-0750. Again, 404-741-0750. Miguel, that's the phone that has the red light that lights up. He's new at the phones, but doing an amazing job. So losing your wealth, what can that do to your health? So this is a pretty interesting study. So this went back 8,000 Americans ages 51 to 61 that started in the 1990s, tracking their health and their wealth over two decades. It's a serious study. And what it tells us is that and this is called negative wealth shock, defined by losing 75% of your assets over a two-year period. And supposedly, it's about a quarter of Americans have experienced this. About 25% of Americans aged 51 and older have experienced a negative wealth shock. That sounds a little high, but this is what it does. This is what happens. If you experience a negative wealth shock, you're 50% more likely to die within the next 20 years after losing most of your assets. That's about the same mortality effect as diagnosis of heart disease. And it doesn't even matter what your dollar value of where you started here. It has to do whether you go from $1 billion down to $250 million. I guess that's part of the study. It is experiencing this loss that's actually really bad for your health. And the reason I bring this up is as the markets have been good over the last several years, folks are, I've seen more and more investors that are comfortable with large positions in one particular company. And I want people to be careful. I don't care how good the stock has been, you've got to be careful. That's when you're overly concentrated, that is the primary way to experience this negative wealth shock. We'll continue to talk about this over the next couple of weeks and give you some more examples. We got to run a quick news, weather, traffic. You're listening to Money Matters. I'm your host, Wes Moss, right here, News 95.5 AM 750 WSB. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here as we wrap up here on a Sunday morning. Listen, we know the Washington and geopolitics have been driving the stock market, and we'll continue to see that. This is one of those periods of time where the market is hanging on every single note and tweet between Trump and Xi Jinping and what we're doing with UK and France and Syrian missile attacks and tariffs. And that's not going away anytime soon. Remember, though, that the economic stimulus that we're seeing this year has a dramatically larger impact to the positive than the potential tariff costs. And again, I stress potential because most of the tariffs that you've been hearing about aren't necessarily going to fully go through. The real worry is that this spat back and forth turns into a real trade war. Again, I just don't think that happens. I think that what we're doing here as a country is that we're really trying to put ourselves in a position of negotiation that we haven't been in before. That's not a political statement. It's just it's a way of looking at this from an economic perspective. And at some point down the line, ultimately, could be a net positive. But we know for a fact the net positives are tax reform already complete, enacted, and happening this year in 2018, and it's about $200 billion. Repatriation is $500 billion of cash coming back to the United States. Does all of that go back to work right away? We don't know for sure, right? Some of that's stock buyback, some of it's extra dividends, some of it is capital expenditures from companies. All of those would be a good thing for equities. And then, of course, more spending for infrastructure here in the United States. You add those up, 200, 500, 100 billion, now you're at $800 billion in stimulus potentially in 2018 versus the potential of an $80 billion drag. $800 billion is bigger than $80 billion. And that's what we're facing realistically here in 2018. We're going to stay on top of this. Of course, it's important. We had a great call today that brought up an important topic around something called the yield curve, which is a really good forecast of whether we go into recession or not. It's not flashing a danger sign just yet, but we need to keep our eye on it. And we will do so right here every Sunday with you, our listener, and the Money Matters team. If you want to find me and the Money Matters team throughout the week, we are here in the Atlanta area. We're happy to talk it through, whether you're in Atlanta or far outside. We're happy to talk. You can find us at wesmoss.com, WESMOSS.com. Have a wonderful rest of your Sunday. Stay tuned for the best programming on the planet right here, News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.